This is Jude Costello, volunteer reader for Sun Sounds of Arizona, with the Poetry Nook. These first are selections from a book of poems entitled Felicity by Mary Oliver. This morning the redbird's eggs have hatched, and already the chicks are chirping for food. They don't know where it's coming from. They just keep shouting, "More, more!" As to anything else, they haven't had a single thought. Their eyes haven't yet opened. They know nothing about the sky that's waiting, or the thousands, the millions of trees. They don't even know they have wings. And just like that, like a simple neighborhood event, a miracle is taking place. The world I live in. I have refused to live locked in the orderly house of reason and proofs. The world I live in and believe in is wider than that. And anyway, what's wrong with maybe? You wouldn't believe what once or twice I have seen. I'll just tell you this. Only if there are angels in your head will you ever possibly see one. Whistling Swans. Do you bow your head when you pray, or do you look up into that blue space? Take your choice. Prayers fly from all directions, and don't worry about what language you use. God no doubt understands them all. Even when the swans are flying north and making such a ruckus of noise, God is surely listening and understanding. Rumi said, "There is no proof of the soul," but isn't the return of spring and how it springs up in our hearts a pretty good hint? Yes, I know, God's silence never breaks, but is that really a problem? There are thousands of voices, after all, and furthermore, don't you imagine, I just suggest it, that the swans know about as much as we do about the whole business? So listen to them and watch them singing as they fly. Take from it what you can. Storage. When I moved from one house to another, there were many things I had no room for. What does one do? I rented a storage space and filled it. Years passed. Occasionally I went there and looked in, but nothing happened, not a single twinge of the heart. As I grew older, the things I cared about grew fewer, but were more important. So one day I undid the lock and called the trash man. He took everything. I felt like the little donkey when his burden is finally lifted. Things! Burn them! Burn them! Make a beautiful fire! More room in your heart for love, for the trees, for the birds who own nothing, the reason they can fly. I know someone who kisses the way a flower opens, but more rapidly. Flowers are sweet. They have short, beatific lives. They offer much pleasure. There is nothing in the world that can be said against them. Sad, isn't it, that all they can kiss is the air? Yes, yes, we are the lucky ones. That little beast, that pretty little beast, a poem has a mind of its own. Sometimes I want it to crave apples, but it wants red meat. Sometimes I want to walk peacefully on the shore, and it wants to take off all its clothes and dive in. Sometimes I want to use small words and make them important, and it starts shouting the dictionary, the opportunities. Sometimes I want to sum up and give thanks, putting things in order, and it starts dancing around the room on its four furry legs, laughing and calling me outrageous. But sometimes when I'm thinking about you, and no doubt smiling, it sits down quietly, one paw under its chin, and just listens. the pond. August of another summer, and once again I am drinking the sun, and the lilies again are spread across the water. I know now what they want is to touch each other. I have not been here for many years, during which time I kept living my life, like the heron who can only croak, who wishes he could sing. I wish I could sing. A little thanks from every throat would be appropriate. That is how it has been, and this is how it is. All my life, I have been able to feel happiness, except whatever was not happiness, which I also remember. Each of us wears a shadow, but just now it is summer again, and I am watching the lilies bow to each other, then slide on the wind and the tug of desire, close, close to one another. Soon now I'll turn and start for home, and who knows, maybe I'll be singing. I have just said something ridiculous to you, and in response, your glorious laughter. These are the days the sun is swimming back to the east, and the light on the water gleams as never it seems before. I can't remember every spring. I can't remember everything. So many years. Are the morning kisses the sweetest, or the evenings, or the in-betweens? All I know is that thank you should appear somewhere. So just in case I can't find the perfect place, thank you, thank you. The gift. Be still, my soul, and steadfast. Earth and heaven both are still watching, though time is draining from the clock, and your walk that was confident and quick has become slow. So be slow if you must, but let the heart still play its true part. Love still as once you loved, deeply and without patience. Let God and the world know you are grateful that the gift has been given. From Mary Oliver's book entitled Horses. After reading Lucretius, I go to the pond. The slippery green frog that went to his death in the heron's pink throat was my small brother, and the heron, with the white plumes like a crown on his head, who is washing now his great sword beak in the shining pond, is my tall, thin brother. My heart dresses in black and dances. I don't want to be demure or respectable. I don't want to be demure or respectable. I was that way, asleep, for years. That way, you forget too many important things. How the little stones, even if you can't hear them, are singing. How the river can't wait to get to the ocean and the sky. It's been there before. What traveling is that? It is a joy to imagine such distances. I could skip sleep for the next 100 years. There is a fire in the lashes of my eyes. It doesn't matter where I am. It could be a small room. The glimmer of gold beam saw on the kitchen pot was missed by everyone else in the house. Maybe the fire in my lashes is a reflection of that. Why do I have so many thoughts? They are driving me crazy. Why am I always going anywhere instead of somewhere? Listen to me or not, it hardly matters. I'm not trying to be wise. That would be foolish. I'm just chattering. Stebbins Gulch. By the randomness of the way the rocks tumbled ages ago, the water pours, it pours, it pours, ever along the slant of downgrade, dashing its silver thumbs against the rocks or pausing to carve a sudden curled space where the flashing fish splash or drowse while the kingfisher overhead rattles and stares. And so it continues for miles, this bolt of light, its only industry to descend and to be beautiful. Where it does so, as for purpose, there is none. It is simply one of those gorgeous things that was made to do what it does perfectly and to last, as almost nothing does, almost forever. Franz Marc's Blue Horses. I step into the painting of the four blue horses. I am not even surprised that I can do this. One of the horses walks toward me. His blue nose noses me lightly. I put my arm over his blue mane, not holding on, just commingling. He allows me my pleasure. Franz Marc died a young man, shrapnel in his brain. I would rather die than try to explain to the blue horses what war is. They would either faint in horror or simply find it impossible to believe. I do not know how to thank you, Franz Marc. Maybe our world will grow kinder eventually. Maybe the desire to make something beautiful is the peace of God that is inside each of us. Now all four horses have come closer, are bending their faces toward me as if they have secrets to tell. I don't expect them to speak, and they don't. If being so beautiful isn't enough, what could they possibly say? On meditating, sort of. Meditation, so I've heard, is best accomplished if you entertain a certain strict posture. Frankly, I prefer just to lounge under a tree, so why should I think I could ever be successful? Some days I fall asleep or land in that even better place, half sleep, where the world, spring, summer, autumn, winter, flies through my mind in its hardy ascent and its uncompromising descent. So I just lie like that, while distance and time reveal their true attitudes. They never heard of me and never will, or never need to. Of course, I wake up finally, thinking, how wonderful to be who I am, made out of earth and water, my own thoughts, my own fingerprints, all that glorious temporary stuff. Loneliness. I too have known loneliness. I too have known what it is to feel misunderstood, rejected, and suddenly not at all beautiful. Oh, Mother Earth, your comfort is great, your arms never withhold. It has saved my life to know this. Your rivers flowing, your roses opening in the morning. Oh, motions of tenderness. Do stones feel? Do stones feel? Do they love their life? Or does their patience drown out everything else? When I walk on the beach, I gather a few white ones, dark ones, the multiple colors. Don't worry, I say, I'll bring you back, and I do. Is the tree, as it rises, delighted with its many branches, each one like a poem? Are the clouds glad to unburden their bundles of rain? Most of the world says no, no, it's not possible. I refuse to think such a conclusion. Too terrible it would be to be wrong. Drifting. I was enjoying everything, the rain, the path, wherever it was taking me, the earth roots beginning to stir. I didn't intend to start thinking about God. It just happened. How God or the gods are invisible, quite understandable. But holiness is visible entirely. It's wonderful to walk along like that, thought not the usual intention to reach an answer, but merely drifting, like clouds that only seem weightless, but of course are not, are really important. I mean, terribly important. not decoration by any means. By next week, the violets will be blooming. Anyway, this was my delicious walk in the rain. What was it actually about? Think about what it is that music is trying to say. It was something like that. Blueberries. I'm living in a warm place now where you can purchase fresh blueberries all year long, labor-free, from various countries in South America. They're as sweet as any, and compared with the berries I used to pick in the fields outside of Provincetown, they're enormous. But berries are berries. They don't speak any language. I can't understand. Neither do I find ticks or small spiders crawling among them. So, generally speaking, I'm very satisfied. There are limits, however. What they don't have is the field they belonged to, and through the years I began to feel I belonged to. Well, there's life, and then there's later. Maybe it's myself that I miss, the field and the sparrow singing at the edge of the woods, and the doe that one morning came upon me unaware, all tense and gorgeous. She stamped her hoof as you would to any intruder, then gave me a long look as if to say, "Okay, you stay in your patch, I'll stay in mine," which is what we did. Try packing that up, South America. The vulture's wings. The vulture's wings are black death color, but the underwings, as sunlight flushes into the feathers, are bright, are swamped with light. Just something explainable by the sun's angle, yet I keep looking, I keep wondering. Standing so far below these high-floating birds, could this, as most things do, be offering something for us to think about seriously? What gorgeous thing! I do not know what gorgeous thing the bluebird keeps saying, his voice easing out of his throat, beak, body, into the pink air of the early morning. I like it, whatever it is. Sometimes it seems the only thing in the world that is without dark thoughts. Sometimes it seems the only thing in the world that is without questions that can't and probably never will be answered. The only thing that is entirely content with the pink, then clear, white morning, and gratefully says so. The following are from Mary Oliver's 1,000 Mornings. I go down to the shore. I go down to the shore in the morning, and depending on the hour, the waves are rolling in or moving out, and I say, "Oh, I am miserable. What should I do?" And the sea says in its lovely voice, "Excuse me, I have work to do." I happened to be standing. I don't know where prayers go or what they do. Do cats pray while they sleep half asleep in the sun? Does the possum pray as it crosses the street? The sunflowers? The old black oak growing older every year? I know I can walk through the world along the shore or under the trees with my mind filled with things of little importance, in full self-attendance, a condition I can't really call being alive. Is a prayer a gift or a petition, or does it matter? The sunflowers blaze. Maybe that's their way. Maybe the cats are sound asleep. Maybe not. While I was thinking this, I happened to be standing just outside my door with my notebook open, which is the way I begin every morning. Then a wren in the privet began to sing. He was positively drenched in enthusiasm. I don't know why, and yet why not? I wouldn't persuade you from whatever you believe or whatever you don't. That's your business. But I thought of the wrens singing, what could this be if it isn't a prayer? So I just listened, my pen in the air. Three things to remember. As long as you're dancing, you can break the rules. Sometimes breaking the rules is just extending the rules. Sometimes there are no rules. Lines written in the days of growing darkness. Every year, we have been witness to it, how the world descends into a rich mash in order that it may resume. And therefore, who would cry out to the petals on the ground to stay, knowing as we must how the vivacity of what was is married to the vitality of what will be? I don't say it's easy, but what else will do if the love one claims to have for the world be true? So let us go on cheerfully enough this and every crisping day, though the sun be swinging east and the ponds be cold and black and the sweets of the year be doomed. An old story. Sleep comes to its little while. Then I wake in the valley of midnight or 3 a.m. to the first fragrances of spring, which is coming all by itself, no matter what. My heart says, what you thought you have, you do not have. My body says, will this pounding ever stop? My heart says, there, there, be a good student. My body says, let me up and out. I want to fondle those soft white flowers open in the night. The instant. Today, one small snake lay looped and solitary in the high grass. It swirled to look, didn't like what it saw, and was gone in two pulses, forward and with no sound at all. Only two taps in disarray from that other shy one, my heart. Tides. Every day the sea, blue, gray, green, lavender, pulls away, leaving the harbor's dark, cobbled undercoat slick and rutted and worm-riddled. The gulls walk there among old whale bones, the white spines of fish, blank from the strandy stew as the hours tick over, and then far out the faint sheer line turns, rustling over the slack, the outer bars, over the green furred flats, over the clam beds, slippery logs, barnacle studded stones, dragging the shining sheets forward, deepening, pushing, wreathing together wave and seaweed, their piled curvatures spilling over themselves, lapping blue-gray-green lavender, never resting, not ever, but fashioning shore, continent, everything. And here you may find me on almost any morning, walking along the shore, so light footed, so casual. The poet compares human nature to the ocean from which we came. The sea can do craziness. It can do smooth. It can lie down like silk, breathing, or toss havoc shoreward. It can give gifts or withhold all. It can rise, ebb, froth like an incoming frenzy of fountains, or it can sweet-talk entirely, as I can, too. And so, no doubt, can you and you. Life story. When I lived under the black oaks, I felt I was made of leaves. When I lived by Little Sister Pond, I dreamed I was the feather of the blue heron left on the shore. I was the pond lily, my root delicate as an artery, my face like a star, my happiness brimming. Later, I was the footsteps that follow the sea. I knew the tides. I knew the ingredients of the rack. I knew the eider, the red-throated loon with his uplifted beak and his smart eye. I felt I was the tip of the wave, the pearl of water on the eider's glossy back. No, there's no escaping, nor would I want to escape this outgo, this foot-loosening, this solution to gravity and a single shape. Now I am here. Later I will be there. I will be that small cloud, staring down at the water, the one that stalls, that lifts the white legs, that looks like a lamb. From Mary Oliver's book, Swan. I worried a lot. Will the garden grow? Will the rivers flow in the right direction? Will the earth turn as it was taught? And if not, how shall I correct it? Was I right? Was I wrong? Will I be forgiven? Can I do better? Will I ever be able to sing? Even the sparrows can do it, and I am, well, hopeless. Is my eyesight fading, or am I just imagining it? Am I going to get rheumatism, lockjaw, dementia? Finally, I saw that worrying had come to nothing, and gave it up, and took my old body and went out into the morning and sang. Passing the unworked field. Queen Anne's lace is hardly prized, but all the same it isn't idle. Look how it stands straight on its thin stems, how it scrubs its white faces with the rags of the sun, how it makes all the loveliness it can. This is Jude Costello, volunteer reader for Sun Sounds of Arizona. If you miss a program, you can get it on demand at sunsounds.org. Left-click on Broadcast Info and Audio, then under Programming Links, left-click on Demand Podcasts. You can now listen to Sun Sounds on your Echo Dot or other smart home device. I'll be with you next time with the Poetry Nook.